live from the ACC Championship Tournament here in, we are at the end of Friday's matchup.
Day four.
I'm a little tired, as you can tell.
That. Yeah.
A little fatigued here, but we did have two exciting matchups tonight, especially the first game tomorrow, Saturday night, 9 p.m. We will see a matchup between Notre Dame and Duke. Chris, I'm hoping you could break down today's action. We'll start with the first game of the night, Duke and North Carolina. It lived up to all the expectations I think you set leading into this game.
Yeah, you know, Duke comes away with the win, down 13 in the second half, and Carolina dominated the first half, only up 7, though, at the break. And you kind of felt like maybe Duke dodged a bullet there. In fact, Coach K said after the game that Grayson Allen kept that team in the game. Now, Jason Tatum had 18 points in the first half, but Allen had 12, and they were on 4 of 5 from three-point range. And Allen's threes, and they came sort of... They weren't organic, if you want to say. Anyway, he was hitting some tough shots in that stretch. And Coach K said after the game that Allen's threes made it so they weren't down 20. The math kind of indicates that Allen really shot them back into the game, or at least close enough. Now, and North Carolina in that first half, 14 of 16 on layups and dunks. I love those stats that you get in this day and age in basketball. You know, the old days, you just had these box scores, right? We're holding right here, and they give a lot of detail, but now you get so much more detail. Crystal, get yourself a microphone. Okay. I was making sure. You get some credit here, too. You get more detail with the more detailed broadcast stats that we get here on Media Row. So Carolina, 14 of 16 on layups and dunks, 14 of 16 at the rim. 14 of their 20 shots were... 14 of the 20 makes, I should say, in the first half, were layups and dunks. Second half, Duke closed that down. I had the number here in the story. I want to say it was like 8 of Carolina's makes in the second half were layups and dunks. And Carolina only shoots 12 of 42 in the second half. That is indicative of something. I mean, right there, as a result of Duke shutting down Carolina's inside game, which you would have not projected before this game tonight, doing so for the last 20 minutes at least, that really shut down Carolina's offense. In the end, the final score was 93-83? It's funny how you got to have to remember these things. 93-83 is the final score. So Carolina had 34 points in the second half, but really when the game was on the line, they extending the game with fouls and that kind of thing, kind of speeds things up in the last couple minutes. 4 and a half minute mark, Carolina still had 71 points in this game. That means they had 22 points in the second half and 16 minutes of play for a team that, again, had 49 in the first half and 20 minutes of play. Duke really took this game over. I know the story of the game will be 93 points scored by Duke, but they really took it over defensively. There was a stretch there, right? We talked about how Carolina led by 13. Well, part of what happened... big deal what happened to North Carolina. They lose Joel Berry, their starting point guard. He had 2 fouls in the first half, had to sit out a good bit in that first half. Didn't seem to hurt Carolina that much, but in the second half, he went down at the 15:04 mark of the second half with his 4th foul. And he didn't come back in the game until under 5 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. When he went out, Carolina led by 8 points. It was 56-48. I noted that score because I thought it would be significant. Now, Carolina, actually, first minute he was out of the game, Justin Jackson did a three-pointer. Then they went down and made another quick basket. They actually increased the lead briefly from 8 to 13. But then afterwards, when he finally got back in the game at the 4, it was around the 4:50 mark. He was out over 10 minutes. In that stretch, Duke outscored North Carolina 29 to 14. That tells you how much of a difference it made that he was not in the game. And Duke, give them credit. They took advantage of the fact that North Carolina was not producing offensively and made some big shots. Now, Coach K talked about this after the game as well. After the 61-48 score, Jason Tatum gets a dunk. You might remember this play if you remember watching the game. Jason Tatum gets a dunk, and Coach K calls a quick timeout. And it was one of those things where, why is he calling timeout? That's a momentum play right there. Why are you stopping your own momentum? And he actually said after the game that the reason he, he called a timeout was he kind of wanted to get his kids regrouped and a break. He doesn't play a lot of players. He only played seven. Let's see, how many guys did he play here tonight? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven guys. Yeah, seven, because one guy played a minute in garbage time. So seven guys played for him tonight. They needed a break. They were tired. So he called the timeout, and then the next possession, they stopped Carolina on the other end. Next possession, Grayson Allen chases down a loose ball, kicks it over in the corner to Luke Kennard, who makes a three-pointer, gets fouled, four-point play, and all of a sudden, the momentum. This place, it was quiet. I mean, the Carolina fans were loud. The Duke fans were quiet. All of a sudden, those Duke fans, hey, there's life. And that play was the life that Coach K said after the game. That was the play of the game for them. You know, and it's funny to think that, you know, at that point, Duke had 50 points. They scored 43 more points, but those four, Coach K says, were the biggest 4 points of the game for his team, just in terms of what they meant in terms of momentum. So, you know, it's funny where a game turns sometimes, and that's, you know, there were two plays, if you want to say, where this game turned. It was when Joel Berry got his fourth foul, and I would say then on that four-point play, the hustle play by Grayson Allen and Luke Kennard draining the shot and making the four-point play.
Okay, so Duke advances to tomorrow's championship game. Chris, I want to talk a little bit about North Carolina and the NCAA tournament bid. Does their loss today change their standings as far as where they'll come out on Selection Sunday?
It could. You know, I'm seeing people I was kind of following on Twitter a good bit tonight as we were, you know, watching the second game especially. And a couple guys made a point that I can't disagree with necessarily. It's hard to say that, you know, UNC with a 27-6 record and 15-5 record when you count the tournament here in ACC play, but a 1-2 record against Duke. If Duke goes out and wins tomorrow night, that would improve Duke to 27-8. They'd have the same number of wins overall as North Carolina. They would have 14 ACC wins instead of 15, but they would also have a 2-1 record against North Carolina. They always say that the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee does not look at head-to-head records when they're comparing resumes, but it's hard to look at those head-to-head records and say that, and that's assuming a lot. That's assuming Duke wins the game tomorrow night, but just for the sake of argument, Duke's resume will be just as strong as Carolina's, maybe a little stronger head-to-head. And I don't know that Carolina's a one seed at this stage. And I think that Duke probably has played themselves into the two seed line. If they win tomorrow night, they're definitely, I don't know that they're a one seed. I think that they're probably a two seed as well if they win tomorrow night. But there's a lot that has to happen before they can win tomorrow night. Let's talk about that too, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so we want to talk about Notre Dame and Florida State as well. And so one of the things that we noticed about that game is Notre Dame dominated for most of the game. Definitely not as close. Florida State came back in the end. It made it look a lot closer than perhaps it actually was.
Yeah.
They had a chance, if they hadn't missed a couple of shots there at the end, to possibly make it very interesting. So,
yeah.
Chris, do you want to break down that game?
Yeah, that game, Crystal did a great job there. I think I could leave it with you there. Notre Dame led by 16 at the half and dominated. I mean, they played as well or better than they played last night in dominating a very good Virginia team. Led by 16 at the half and were shooting great, over 50% from the field, 8 of 15 from three-point range, and maintained a double-digit lead most of the way. And then Florida State, yeah, they made it look interesting late. In particular, got to get the right stat sheets up here. It was Brea Angola-Rodas. He had in the game, gotta pull it up here real quick. He had 17 points, but 16 of them were in the second half. And he's a bench player for this team. He only played 24 minutes, but he was 4-7 from 3-point range in the second half. And he was the fireball that really kept Florida State in the game when they weren't making shots. Got them closer, and then in the last couple of minutes, this game felt like it was over. I think at the under four timeout, it was still a double digit game.
Mm-hmm.
And Crystal mentioned, the final margin is 4 points. I mean, of the two games tonight, Duke wins by 10 in a game that was a close game until the last 2 minutes. Notre Dame wins by 4 in a game that was a blowout until the last 2 minutes, right? Notre Dame couldn't make free throws. Now, on the night, Notre Dame only 8 of 13 from the free throw line, which is interesting for a team that goes 13 of 27 shooting from three-point range. But They Bonzi Colson was 1-for-2 at the line, and then they missed the back end of two consecutive 1-and-1s, and Florida State was down 5 after each of those 1-and-1 misses. If they go down and make shots, obviously this game is very different the way it turns out. But they missed both those shots. Notre Dame got the stops they needed. It got a little hairy in here as far as that goes. By and large, Notre Dame did in one sense, they were just as efficient offensively as they were last night against Virginia, but it was different. They ended up shooting 47.5% for the game in this one. They shot 52% last night against Virginia. But last night against Virginia, only 5 of 17 from three-point range. They were really doing their damage, spreading the floor and getting in the lane, getting layups, and the short shots and the points in the paint. Tonight, it was 13 of 27 from three-point range. That was the big difference in Notre Dame. So that shows the versatility of this team. They can spread the floor and drive to the basket, or they can also spread the floor and get the open looks. And tonight, against a bigger Florida State team, they took advantage of those open looks from three. And they were making them all night long. Steve Vasuria, 4 of 5 from three-point range. Matt Farrell, 3 of 8. Rex Fluker, 2 of 3. Outside of and Matt Ryan, 3 of 4 off the bench with 11 points. The only guy that wasn't hitting, V.J. Beachum, was 1 of 6 from three-point range. But consistently, this team was making their open shots. And, the interesting thing from Florida State's perspective is they shot 50.7% from the field. Their issue tonight was turnovers, 18 turnovers. Notre Dame only having 9 turnovers, but forcing 18 Florida State turnovers. Sloppy Florida State play. You look at a lot of these stats. I mean, when you shoot 50.7% from the floor, you out-rebound your opponent 41-23. You outscore them in the paint 42-24. You win a lot of those games. But when you turn the ball over as much as Florida State did tonight, and they looked sloppy last night in their win over Virginia Tech, and we talked about that after the game last night, that I thought that they looked vulnerable to me, that I thought the winner of the Virginia Notre Dame game would have a good shot tonight to get past Florida State and go to the final. And they lived up to that, or lived down to that, if you want to say. So.
And I was going to say the same thing, that I have the privilege of sitting next to you and hearing a lot of commentary that never actually makes it on the air. Yeah. And one of the things that you did say...
I talk a lot.
Yes, you do. Yeah. But one of the things you did say is that you really felt the winner of last night's game between Notre Dame and Virginia would end up in the final, and that came true tonight.
Yeah, in Florida State, unfortunately, I was on the radio earlier today with Mark Moses down in Florida. He's... a guy that I've known for a long time. He used to work up in Virginia with us, and Mark had me on the show. His listener base is a Florida State fan listener base, and one thing we both agreed on was this Florida State team is very talented. I mean, it's a solid team, 1 through 12. Coach Leonard Hamilton has recruited a great team. They're very athletic, but they've not played up to their potential, particularly on offense. We talked about that today during that interview that we did, and that was the issue again today. Again, you shoot 50.7%, but you commit 18 turnovers, and that's the big issue for Florida State, is that they're just a little sloppy. And you look at who commits the turnovers, it's their star guys. Isaac, 4 turnovers. Bacon, 4 turnovers. Terrence Mann, a guard, with 3 turnovers. I mean, you can't have your guys who control the ball turn it over that much. It's just one of those things. And so, they're getting ready for the NCAA tournament. North Carolina is. Roy Williams made a point in his postgame press conference that he has had the privilege, and the way I'm going to phrase it the way he did, because he's a humble guy. He said his teams have taken him to 8 Final Fours. A lot of guys will, of course, make it about them. He says his teams have taken him to 8 Final Fours. 6 of those times, his teams lost in the conference tournament semifinals, like they did tonight. Twice, they have won their conference tournament, including last year. They beat Virginia in the final down in the Verizon Center, and that team made the Final Four and lost, of course, in that very memorable championship game on the last second shot by Villanova. So I've been saying that all week, and I know it sounds like a cop-out, especially for the Virginia fans back home who... maybe hear me say, every time you play for a trophy, you want to win the trophy. But if you don't win the trophy this week, that's not the biggest deal in the world, because there's a bigger one that starts next week. Roy Williams agrees with that. Coach K now in his press conference talked about the other side of that, which is, they got to play their fourth game in 4 days tomorrow night. And he was saying that, yeah, every time you put a trophy out there, you want to go win it. And he's not deflecting that, you know, that this could be an issue for his team next week, that having played 4 games in 4 days with a thin roster could be an issue for his team. But, hey, they're playing tomorrow night for a championship right here at the Barclays Center. And, you know, you want to win that game. You want to win that championship. So, in Florida State will probably be – it'll probably be a three seed in the NCAA tournament. I think that this Notre Dame team, I'm not sure that even a win tomorrow night necessarily puts them up at the 2 seed line, but they're a solid 3 in my opinion. They started this week potentially as low as a 5 seed in the end. I mean, none of this really matters. You play the games, all that kind of stuff, but yeah, they may have played their way up the line. Certainly, they have played their way up the line. What am I saying? They've definitely played their way up that line. And you know, from the fans' perspective, I made a joke in a tweet a half hour ago as we're recording this. For those who are listening to our podcast later in the day, I guess on Saturday, that how appropriate it is that the first ACC tournament in Brooklyn has 2 teams from Jersey playing in the final, right? The fan bases are going to be here. Notre Dame, a national fan base, a very huge presence in the New York City market. I mean, with the Irish Catholic, obviously tie-in for the Notre Dame University, and Duke, of course, a national fan base and a huge New York City presence as well. So you could hear it tonight when you're watching a game back home. I'm sure that most ACC tournaments you see. The ones that are played in North Carolina and Greensboro, the occasional years that's played in Charlotte, this term is Carolina Blue. The further you get into it, when Carolina's in those games, and they usually are later on in a tournament. Tonight, when Duke made that run, when they made that 4-point play I talked about, and pointing to where it was because we're sitting courtside, not too far away from where it happened, the Duke fan base got loud. This place got loud. Tonight was... we should talk about that, too, a little bit, too. But, you know, all the criticism this week from folks back home down south about whether or not this tournament should be in New York or not. Tonight, 18,000-plus in this arena. I expect there will be 18,000-plus tomorrow night in this
18,000-plus, and they said that is the highest attendance for any college basketball game played here. And we know because we were here for an invitational tournament that Virginia played in 3 years ago. And, of course, that was very sparsely attended. So,
And they have those tournaments. Actually, I'm sorry to interrupt, but they have those tournaments here at Barclays. They don't just have one of those a year. The month of November and December, they have one of those almost every weekend from about mid November to mid to late December. Various names of these tournaments, when they say this is the biggest attendance for a college basketball game in this arena, I mean they're not talking about like 2 or 3 games. They're talking about a 4 or 5 year run, and they invite teams. They invite Virginia. You know, they've had some marquee names in this arena. In those November and December tournaments. And, 18,000-plus tonight. Now, Duke's playing Carolina.
Right, absolutely. Right. The second game definitely had probably about half of that. And many kind of leaving during the, probably about half, at the half, just because the game looked like it had gotten away, even though it eventually did come back around and get much closer. So, all right, so we will be back again tomorrow, and we will...
later tonight, officially.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Since it is after midnight, we'll be back at 9 p.m. We'll try to do a game preview with AFP editor Chris Graham, and... definitely invite you to join the blog and have a conversation with us. It will be Duke versus Notre Dame. And just a quick shout out to our sponsors. Our presenting sponsor of AFFP's coverage of the ACC tournament is the Cottages at Orca's Landing. Look, you're showing off the
new hat you got here.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. The Cottages at Orca's Landing enjoy abundant sunshine and island life all year long at the Cottages at OrcasLanding.com. Check them out. They're located in Washington State. And we also want to thank our additional sponsors of our coverage, which include 340clothing.com, dragonflybeach.net, and officialawe.com. You can learn more about all those sponsors on our website or our Facebook page. Signing off from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, I'm Crystal Graham, joined by AFP editor Chris Graham. We'll see you again tomorrow night.